Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Over the Christmas period, Pastor Clive has been talking about the immensity of God's creation of the universe. And again on Sunday, he was talking about this. And what's the purpose of that? Of just knowing how vast the whole of God's creation is. What does that do for us? Well, if we could get into the realms of science fiction for a moment and imagine that we could go anywhere within the entirety of God's creation. If we could visit some of these millions of far-off galaxies, if we could travel billions of light years or whatever it is, we would still know the love of God. Wherever we went within that creation, He would be there. He doesn't confine His presence to the earth's atmosphere. As Scripture says, nothing in the whole of creation could separate us from the love of God. That means that wherever we went within this vastness of creation, we would be able to encounter the love of God for us personally. Because we would not be separated from Him. Nothing can separate us from Him. What does this tell us? Well, we can't measure the love of God, just as we can't measure the universe. And God, of course, is greater than the creation He has brought into being. So it's impossible for us to comprehend the vastness of creation. But just in the same way, it's impossible for us to understand the vastness of His love. And when you think that He has put that love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what resources we must have within us. It's not just the love of a man who once walked on the earth and gave his life on the cross, but it's the vastness of the love of God. The amazing thing is that the vastness of that love was sort of narrowed down into one man so that He could show us what that love looked like within a human being. And what was God's purpose in that? That we should all be like Him. Now, how does He express that love? Well, first and foremost, as He's been speaking to us for months now, through His mercy. Wherever we went in the universe, we wouldn't be able to get away from His mercy, because He expresses His love in mercy. When you understand that, you can see why Jesus is so emphatic about our need to be merciful, as He is merciful. Not to hold on to any hurt or offense, but always to be ready to forgive because He forgives us. Well, God has, I think, really hammered that home to us over the last several months now. But the other way in which God principally manifests, reveals this love is through his grace. And I believe God is saying this is where we've got to begin this new year, with a fresh revelation of his grace. Now, we know that there's a lot of wrong teaching out there about grace, but that doesn't mean that we don't proclaim the right teaching about grace. We don't sort of shut the subject down just because some people are taking grace to excess. But to really understand the true nature of God's grace. Because you see, by the same token, if he expresses his love in mercy and in grace, then that grace is as vast as the universe. And if it was possible for us to travel to those far reaches of God's creation, we would still know his grace. Because he is by nature merciful, and he is by nature gracious. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. The Lord's been spending this holiday period while we've been away talking to me a lot about his grace. If I said to you, do you believe in his grace? You would obviously answer, well, yes, of course I believe in his grace. Do we live by his grace? The answer to that is probably yes, but also no. I believe why the Lord wants to speak to us about his grace is because we don't actually understand how gracious he is. Let me show you what I mean. We're starting 20 days of prayer and fasting. Is that going to make a difference to what God gives to us? Absolutely not. If that made a difference as to what God gives to us, that would be a reward for fasting and not grace. He calls us to walk in holiness with him and in righteousness. So does God bless us because we walk in holiness and righteousness? Absolutely not. Because if he did, what he did would be a reward for righteousness and holiness and not grace. To understand the grace of God, you have to understand that that grace has absolutely nothing to do with anything that we do. It's not even affected by what we do. God's nature does not become more gracious because of what we do or the way we live.
That's right.
Whatever we do for good or ill does never, ever affect God or what he does. Now, this is to understand the grace of God. Well, if that is the case, then what is the purpose of the prayer and the fasting? What is the value of a walk of holiness and righteousness, of loving obedience to the Lord? None of that affects what God does, but it affects our ability to receive what God gives. It isn't that what we do impresses God to give. It simply enables us to receive what He's already chosen to give. He doesn't choose to give to us because we fast and pray. He doesn't choose to forgive us because we have been walking in obedience, or because we're feeling in a particularly virtuous mood. All those things enable us to receive what God has already chosen to give. This is the mistake, of course, that a lot of people make in approaching the whole business of healing, and in much counsel that they're given at times of healing. Well, if you do this and if you do that, if you seek out this, if you make sure there's nothing of this, and people turn themselves inside out trying to get healed, whereas, of course, all healing is a work of God's grace. It's got absolutely nothing to do with turning yourself inside out, trying to find some secret sin or trying to find some reason why you got sick or why you haven't been healed. All that takes the focus away from the Lord. And if we want revival for a generation, if we want revival at all, what we have to appreciate is that your focus has to be exclusively on Him. Upon who He is, the Lord who in His love is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. It's like a kind of a mantra that runs all the way through the Old Testament and then is revealed in the person of Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus got angry, like when He cast out the money changers. He got angry with the Pharisees. Scripture says so. Slow to anger, but abounding in love. Full of mercy, full of grace. So it's a question, really, ultimately, of faith. In daring to believe that God is as gracious as He is. Daring to believe that God wants to give to me irrespective of what I do. That He doesn't sit on His throne looking at my performance and deciding whether it's good enough to give to me. God is not like that. But He has already blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He has already blessed me with the fullness of life that is in Christ. All that is the work of His grace. Dare I believe it? But that love, you see, is that faith is the faith that is at the heart of kingdom faith. Faith working through love. That out of my love for Him, I want to please Him. It's got nothing to do with pleasing Him in order to get something from Him. He's not going to be gracious because I please Him. He is gracious even if I don't please Him. Nothing that I can do can change who God is. Right. By the nature of who He is or by the way in which He works. But out of my love for Him, I want to please Him. I don't want to grieve Him. but please him. Because of who he is, because I love him. Not because if I fast and pray, he's going to bless me. You see, the scripture is clear that if we give, he gives back to us good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over. But he doesn't do that because my giving to him has sparked a response in him. It simply means that in giving, I am able then to enter into the more fully into what he has already decided to give to me. What he has already given in Christ. One of the things I learned in a time of revival that we had when we were praying so many hours a day, everybody was praying, we reckon probably about 6 hours a day. Without, and I mean really praying, not just meditating on the word, but really going for it. Something that God worked in us, but what I realized during that time is that God didn't need any of our prayers. That actually our prayers made not the slightest bit of difference to God. It was we who needed to pray. It's we who needed those hours of prayer to come into the place where we would believe that God would do all that we saw him doing. You see, if I was to say to you, right, do you believe that now every Sunday we will see at least 30 people coming to the Lord for the rest of this year? You would not be in a place of faith to say that. Now, God in his grace wants that more than you want it. In fact, you could say he would desire many more than 30 a week. We're the ones who need the prayer. To believe that God will be so gracious as to do that. Because we don't believe it at this moment. Might be a nice idea, but we don't believe it. Nice ideas are not faith. So prayer actually brings you into a greater place of faith in God's grace. It's not that the prayer makes God more gracious, but the prayer lifts us to another level of faith in his grace. So it's very important that we don't enter into these 20 days of prayer and fasting thinking that God is going to reward us because we miss a few meals. We know the purpose of the fasting is to devote more time to prayer. But that prayer is not a good work. God is not going to sort of look upon us and say, oh, Kingdom Faith is praying more, I'll bless them more. What the prayer does is enable us to trust more fully in his grace. And therefore to be able to receive what he has given. You see, we have that up in front of us every time we come into this room, that he is able to make all grace abound to us. That's what he wants, all grace to abound to us. And that's in chapter 9, isn't it, of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 8, Paul says, "And you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor, yet he became rich, so that through his poverty we may become rich." You see, he's already done what is necessary to make us rich. Rich in every conceivable way. Materially, physically, spiritually. In whatever way, we need to be wealthy in order to fulfill his purpose. We praise God for the turnaround that has happened in the last year or so with the finances. And a lot of that is due to the diligence of Pastor Clive and the other leaders, the way they've overseen the finances. But we still have the overdraft, because that won't come from diligence, but from faith in his grace. That's the only way that will get obliterated once and for all, so that we never go back again into debt. We still need to be vigilant and steward our finances in the best possible way. But doing that doesn't provide for the shortfall. You see, is it that we keep asking the Lord to provide, but we don't believe in his grace? In the full way in which he wants us to. Just like we can pray for healing without believing in his grace to heal us. So we think, well, if we pray sufficiently or in the right way, then God will heal us. So if we minister to somebody else in the right way, God will heal them. No. Any work of healing is a work of his mercy and his grace. What am I saying? Or really, what do I believe God is saying to us? We've become too important to ourselves. We think that what we do matters rather than who he is what matters. Now, of course, if I asked you that, you would say, yes, but of course. But I'm talking about not what we believe in theory, but what we do in action, in reality. So easy, isn't it? Therefore, to sort of slip out of top gear and to realize that a lot of our thoughts and praying and so on focus around ourselves. I mean, the Lord taught us in the worship, keep the focus on him. Don't sing about yourself and your experience and your feelings and all the rest, because worship is about him. But actually, faith is about him. The whole Christian life is about him. Grace is about him. Mercy is about him. Love is about him. He is love. He is the merciful and gracious God who is slow to anger, abounding in love. That's who he is. So, what does God want to do today or tomorrow? Or next week, or next month, he wants to give. When I was a young man, there was a time when that was the case. One of the things that I read that had a deep impression upon me as a Christian was actually something that was written by an Anglican bishop when there were more Anglican bishops around who believed. Who said that? But this was like a catchphrase for him. God eternally lives to give himself. You see, now there is a man who understood grace. That understood the grace of God. He eternally lives to give. We pray, we do all kinds of things. We try to get this happening, that happening in this person's life, that person's life. We pray for them. And what is so often lacking is simply faith in his grace. It's not going to come by our expertise. Not going to come because we get the right formula in prayer. It isn't that God is waiting for that right formula. He's just waiting for faith in his grace. One of the things that, actually, especially in times of revival, but one of the things that has amazed me throughout my ministry is to see the way that there are certain people who, it seems regularly in their lives, receive the most amazing miracles from God. Wonderful healings, wonderful provision, great answers to prayer. Yet when you look at their lives, spiritually, it would seem rubbish. You would be able to think of a whole lot of other people that live far more godly and holy lives. And you think, or I've thought, because I'm talking about what I've experienced, I thought, why, Lord, does someone like that get all these miracles and somebody who's living a much more disciplined, godly life is struggling so much more? And God said to me one day, he simply believes in my grace. Simply believes in my grace. Now, of course, God doesn't want the indisciplined life. What he wants is the godly life, the holy life, but not for us to imagine that our godliness and holiness is going to influence God. We live like that out of love for him. But what influences him is faith in his grace. So, again and again, Jesus says to people, according to your faith in my willingness to give this healing to you, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Pastor Clive was talking on Sunday about Jairus' daughter being healed and the woman with the issue of blood sort of interrupting him as he's on the way to Jairus' house. And the news coming that the child has died. And Jesus say, don't be afraid, just believe. Believe what? Well, you started, Jairus, by believing in my grace. You said, come, and my child will be healed. That's believing in my grace. Well, just go on believing in my grace and your child will be raised from the dead. Just go on believing in the grace. See, Jairus hadn't done anything. I mean, most of these people, blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't a disciple of Jesus. Zacchaeus, all these other characters. Somehow there was faith in his grace. Okay, now where does this faith come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. The truth of God's Word. The Word is full of the revelation of the grace of God. Now, how can we understand this in a sort of really personal way? If you just look up grace, I've gone through all these scriptures over the last few weeks, but if you look up grace in the 150 thing, the first one is, and Noah found grace, found favor. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, have you found favor in the eyes of the Lord? Of course you have. You wouldn't be here. You can't be saved unless you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You can't receive any blessing unless you find favor in the eyes of the Lord. So do we believe in God's favor? Well, yes, but I mean in, you know, all the circumstances that arise, that you have the favor of God. And to understand that your sin, your failure, does not affect the favor. Because that's like saying, if I sin, God will stop being gracious. No, sin will rob me of the confidence to believe that he will be gracious and that I will live in his favor today. That's why his mercy needs to be new every morning, so that I can start every day knowing I'm living in the favor of God. Knowing I'm living in the graciousness of God. That every sin has been washed away, that I stand before him pure, holy, blameless in his sight. By his mercy, therefore, I stand every day in his grace. Doesn't matter who says what or does what to me, nobody can rob me of that place in Christ. Nobody can rob me of that place of standing before his grace. That's why you never seek to vindicate yourself. Because he is our vindication. He is our source of supply. He is our all in all, the scripture says. As soon as I try to do something, I've taken the emphasis away from his grace and his mercy and his love and his compassion and his loving kindness and his power. In his desire for me to live in his giving. Not that my prayer is going to cause him to give. I sometimes sort of listen to the way in which people pray. I mean, we all do that when we pray corporately, don't we? You listen to what people are praying. And it seems so often that our prayer seems to suggest that we can tell God what to do. I mean, who are we to tell God what to do? It's like saying, God, look, there's this situation. Don't you think it would be a good idea that you did this, 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 and this? We can dress it up and say, Lord, we believe you to do this, 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 and this. Because it sounds better that way. But actually, you see, the real nub of the situation is, but in all these words that I pray, am I trusting in the grace of God? Do I believe that I have received it because he is so gracious? Is there any doubt in my mind as to the outcome of the prayer? Because if there is, then I don't believe in his grace. And I don't see that my prayer is an entering into the abundance of his grace that he's already supplied. So what's the purpose of the prayer and fasting? We can enter more abundantly into his grace. Because we're going to spend more time praying, more greater focus on him. You know, you can have a long list of things, people and all the rest that you pray for, yeah? And we must pray for this and pray for that and pray for this and pray for that, this group and that group and that group. And we think, oh, what a good job we've done. We've fulfilled our obligation. We prayed for them all. What difference does it really make? Unless there's faith in his grace. That these people are going to be blessed, not because we prayed, but because God is gracious. Not because we fulfilled and feel good about having fulfilled an obligation to pray. That, my friends, is religion. Thinking that we can please God by what we do, that is the basis of religion. The very thing that Jesus came to put an end to. What God wants is our prayer times to be receiving times. So that the grace of God abounds to us. Why? So that then we will abound in every good work. Because the more we receive, the more we give. The more of him we receive, the more of him will actually be manifested in what we say and do. So it's not selfish to spend time receiving from God's grace every day. My life in you, my love in you, my power in you, my victory in you. So we can see, I want you to see these three things at the beginning of this time. Obviously, grace and love go together in Scripture because the grace is an expression of his love. Grace and faith go together in Scripture because our faith is in his graciousness, in his willingness to give. The other thing, if you look closely at Scripture, that goes with grace, love, faith, is joy. Why does God in His Word say, rejoice in the Lord always? Because when you're rejoicing, your focus is on Him and His grace. Yes. See, when people get anxious and worried, what's happened? They've lost their joy. They've lost the sense of God's grace. They're not actually operating by faith in His grace at that moment. The Lord tells us not to be anxious, doesn't He? And anxiety, you see, in fact, you go through these, and then I suggest you go through grace and then start going through heart. Because what we're actually talking about this morning is what is in our hearts in relation to God and His graciousness. And you see that the anxiety, the fear, the worry, all that is obviously an absence of faith. And where there is an absence of faith, there's no joy. I mean of faith operating in a particular situation. There's no joy. Where faith is operating, there's joy. Why? Because we're trusting in God's grace. So the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always, because He always wants faith in His grace.
Amen. Come on.
Right. Now, this doesn't mean that we adopt this crazy teaching that's going around, that we don't need to confess our sins and all the rest of it because of God's grace. That is just taking... Well, it's getting out of the truth, isn't it? Away from the truth. Because if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But you see, what we understand is that our sin does not affect the graciousness of God. Robs us of confidence. That's why we need His mercy. That's why we need His forgiveness. But you see, as soon as there is forgiveness, if we're a people of faith, we immediately realize that we can apprehend the gifts of His grace. We're not Roman Catholics who, after they've been given forgiveness in the confessional, they have a penance to do. There's no penance when you're forgiven. Because Jesus has borne the punishment. So that act of forgiveness immediately places you back in the place of God's grace. So is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church and anoint him. Pray, the prayer of faith raise the sick man from bed. And if any of you have sinned, confess your sins one to another. Why? Because sin will rob you of the faith in the grace. That's the bit that often gets left out in anointing. It isn't that God is going to reward us with healing because we've repented of our sins. That again would make healing a reward, not a work of God's grace. But it's simply that in the forgiveness, our confidence can then be restored. Lord, I'm sorry that I grieved you. But I thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. Thank you that I'm now restored. Thank you that now there is no hindrance to me receiving all that you want to pour into my life by your grace. Now, I'm not saying anything that's very new to most of us. Just perhaps putting it in another way. You want to study how vast the universe is? Great. As long as that helps you to understand that that's how great His grace is. That's how great His mercy is. That's how great His love is. And nothing in all creation can separate you from Him or His love, no matter where you went in the universe. So, this is going to be a good year. All over these last few days, every time I think of this year, it's as if the Holy Spirit's saying, this is a year of my grace, year of my grace, year of my grace. You know, I believe all the prophetic words that God has been speaking about what He's going to do this year, but He's only going to do that if we believe in His grace. He's not going to do it because we pray or because we fast or because we this or because we that, but because He has chosen to give by His grace. So let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Come on, let's just praise Him for His grace. For that love. For the love that He expresses in that amazing vastness of His mercy. And the vastness of His grace. We praise You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. That You are greater than all You have made. That Your love is beyond our comprehension. That Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and Your ways greater than our ways. Oh, Lord, forgive us for thinking that our thoughts and our ways are so important. And forgive us, Lord, when we lose sight of the real meaning of Your grace. When we put the emphasis on ourselves and what we do instead of just seeing it's all dependent upon Your amazing grace. And that by that grace You have already given us the fullness of life in Christ. You have already blessed us in Him with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That we lack no good thing. Oh, we praise You, Lord. That You have not withheld Yourself from us. But have already given Yourself to us in all Your fullness. That You've already poured that amazing, that immense love into our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. How we praise You, how we bless You. Kukara patara zatoria letu bakara sitapa. O rala bazataria letu bakara sitari sataria letu bakara sitari sandama. Basataria leto bakara sitri sararia leto bakara sitri sanduma. Basandaria leto bakara sitri sarato bakara zato bakara sinuma. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We bless You. Kura lala basataria leto bakara sitri sataria leto bakara sitoba. Bupara zataria leto bakara sitoba. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I believe the Lord is saying that He wants a fresh anointing on our prayer this year. And for us to understand that our prayer doesn't make God do things. But we need to pray to come into that place of faith where we believe in the graciousness of God, where, as Jesus said, we believe that we have received it, that we need to pray through to those places of faith, those places of absolute assurance, the place of being sure and certain of what we hope for. So that what we're praying for isn't in this a reality because of the graciousness of God. So, Father, we just pray for a fresh anointing. Oh, Lord, that the spirit of faith will be operating in us as we pray. That Lord, we will pray right through to the resolution of situations instead of just praying about the situation. Oh, Lord, that You would restore this anointing that has been so evidently on us in at times when we just pray right through to victory in one situation after another, that we don't just pray about a situation and leave it in hope that things are going to change, but we pray right through to the transformation of that situation because, Lord, we pray right through to believing Your grace to transform, to change. Now, Lord, we pray that You would do a work in our hearts, in the hearts of all the students, everybody in the church as we meet together this evening and during these coming days and during these days of prayer and fasting, that, Lord, we won't see this as a good work, but we'll see this as an opportunity for us to enter more fully into the revelation of who You are in Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
That, Lord, You would restore to people a real desire to pray because so much happens when they pray.
Yeah. Thank You, Lord. Yes, yes, yes.
Purataparazatabarazitrisatuba. Bazataria letobakalazitrisatuba. Lord, that people will get beyond seeing prayer as a duty and seeing it as a joy, as a deep need that we have to pray. So that we can enter more and more fully into all that You have given to us in Christ. Pura la bazataria leto bakarasita ba. Bazataria leto bakarasita di sataria leto bakarasanduma. O paparazataria leto bakarasita ba. Bazataria leto bakarasita di satuba. O mamarazala mazutu di sarato bakarasita di sanduma. O bazataria leto bakarasita di satu bakarasanduma. Om barazataria ledo bakara sita di sataria ledo bakara sita. Basataria ledo bakara sita di sarado bakara sita di samnuma. Barandaria ledo bakara sita di sato. Lord, forgive us whenever we've thought that we deserve something from You because we've prayed or because we've fasted, or because we walked in righteousness and holiness. Lord, we know that even if we did everything absolutely perfectly, we would still not deserve anything from You. That everything is the work of Your mercy. Everything is the work of Your grace. We can never, ever get to that place of merit, but only of grace.
And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. Forgive us for that, all those self-righteous attitudes that cause us to think that because of our godliness, because of our holiness, because of our obedience or whatever, then we deserve anything from you. Lord, I acknowledge I deserve nothing from you, could never ever, have never ever deserved anything from you, that everything you have ever done in my life is a work of your mercy and your grace. And I praise you and I bless you and I thank you, Lord. I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, Lord, that this revival for a generation is going to be a total work of your grace. Complete work of your grace. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. What a mighty, wonderful, glorious God. O rala basoturi saratari elero bakara sitiri sandama. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puratabari elero bakara sitaba. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la bazatari eledo bakara sitri sanduma. Bazandari eledo bakara sitri sarato bakara sundama. Bazandari eledo bakara sitri sanduma. Bazandari eledo bakara sitri satari eledo bakara sinuma. Bazandari eledo bakara sitri sato bakara sanduma. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, rasata pa rasata rieletoba. Come, let's just praise him. Just praise him. Oh, Lord, you are so good. You are so gracious. You are so good. You are so gracious. Poor Pakarazat, I could never deserve anything from you, Lord. Oh, but all you desire is to give, that you live to give yourself. And Lord, what an amazing truth that you live to give yourself to me. It's just almost beyond belief, Lord, that you should live to give yourself to me. Oh, rasatapa rasatari aleto bakala sitapa. Bazatari aleto bakala sitari sando bakala sitari sandoma. Bazatari aleto bakala sitari sando bakala sitari sandoma. Bazandari aleto bakala sitari satari aleto bakala sandoma. Oh, paparazatari aleto bakala sitari sandoma. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Puparazato. Thank you, Lord, you eternally live to give yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't want to frustrate you. I want to be open to receive all that you want to give, all that you want to pour into my heart and life, day by day. Paratapakari aleto pakara sitari santo. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it is amazing grace that has saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, razata pa razata de leto pa kalasita pa. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise you.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I just feel that we need to pray for the church, not just Kingdom Faith Church, but for the whole body of Christ. And Lord, there would be such a move of your Spirit,
yes,
in your body to deliver your body from all self-righteousness. Because, Lord, it's as filthy rags to that you will just deliver your church from thinking that you owe us something or that you've got to do this, that, or the other. But, Lord, that there will be such a revelation of faith in your grace that will counteract all this false teaching on grace, which has simply filled a vacuum that exists because there hasn't been true faith in His grace. So, Lord, we want that vacuum to be filled with the truth, because we believe that's what you want, Lord. And thank you that you will give us the grace for everything that you call us to be and to do as your body. Oh, Ratapagara, Lord, deliver your church from religion.
Right.
Deliver your body, Lord, from thinking that it's what we do that will please you, instead of understanding that the only way we can please you is by putting faith in what you do. In what you have done. Oh. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. You love your body. You love your church. With that amazing, with that immense love, you have been so patient, so gracious, so kind. But, oh God, let this be a season when your church begins to rise up.
Amen.
With new faith in your grace. Yes. When your people enter more and more fully into all that you died to give to us. When we no longer put the emphasis upon what we do, but our faith in what you have done. And we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now, as we just pray for Kingdom Faith Church, I believe that God is saying that what He is saying to us now is the key to seeing the way that lives will be transformed. You know, that we won't just be bringing people to faith in Christ, but the addicts will get delivered. The alcoholics will get delivered. The gamblers will get delivered.
Yeah.
You know, we will just see the complete transformation of life because of the level of faith that people have right from the very beginning.
Right.
That because there's such faith in God's grace in the body, whoever comes into that will come into this complete liberation, this complete freedom. It won't be, you know, coming through and to a measure and then having to go through a long season where there's this, that, and the other, this issue gets sorted, that issue. But people will get thoroughly saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely, thoroughly, totally saved. Poor Ratabakara Satoba, saved from everything that has afflicted them, everything that has that has restricted them. Oh, we praise you, Lord, that you have won the total victory.
Amen.
And we just give you glory, Lord. We give you honor and praise. We thank you that this is a season of your grace. I believe, Lord, you're saying that this is going to be a year when we find special favor, simply because of what you do in our hearts to increase that faith in your grace, that we would just live in your favor, that we will know that you will cause all grace to abound to us so that in all things, at all times, having everything we need, we will abound in every good work. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.